Good evening and welcome to Beyond Ghosts, Interactive Paranormal. It is May 18th, 2010. Welcome to the show, everyone. My name is John Crescito. I am your host. And tonight, another fantastic brand new episode is on tap. And we are talking about a subject that is absolutely synonymous with the paranormal. You get out in the street and ask, I'd say about 10 to 20 folks, what they think about supernatural subjects, and at least half of those people are going to bring up the topic of tonight's program, the Ouija board. Go ahead and try it yourself, and believe me, folks, that's going to happen. And tonight we have brought on board our buddy, a good friend of ours. He is the preeminent expert worldwide on all things Ouija board. We'll be talking to our guy, Robert Murch. That's right, Robert Murch will be in the house tonight with Beyond Ghosts, talking about the Ouija board, and yes, I will be all roped up, ready to go with my man Chef Chick and Ryan, the Professor Willard. And this is just another reason that Beyond Ghosts is not your daddy or your mommy's paranormal talk. We keep it fresh, we keep it light, and tonight, like I said, Ouija board with Robert Murch. So we'll get ready to go in a minute, folks. Hit the ground running in. Welcome to the show. Thanks for listening, and going to be a wild ride again.
Back off, man. I'm a scientist.
The lab and see what's on the slab.
Well, hey there, and welcome everybody to Beyond Ghosts, Interactive Paranormal. Yes, you're right, it is your host, John Crescito. Everybody, welcome to the program. And before I take the opportunity, the absolute pleasure to introduce another exclusive, fantastic guest we have joining us this evening, you know the drill, babies. We're going to let the co-hosting team, the all-stars from out of this universe, tell you fans at home, all the listeners, I'm talking to you, you're their fans, I'm just here to kind of be like the ringmaster. They're going to tell you guys what they've been doing, why the heck they've been doing that stuff, and how come nobody's caught them up to this point, minus Chef Chick. So number one, we're going to start with Ace on the mic. We're talking Ryan, the Professor Willard, the Willardian. Ryan, what's been going on since last we met on the radio, man, and what is the dealio homeo?
Just kind of getting into... I think all of us are watching a little bit of those NHL playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think, Marty, how the Sabres doing in the first round? How do you think they did?
They won.
A little early for this bit there, Ryan, but a little early in the monologue, but that's cool, yeah.
But
they won,
yeah,
Marty?
Yeah, wasn't your kid born during that time frame, too?
No, Mike.
What'd you name it?
The boy or girl?
Baby's not born yet. Where have you been? Have another one, Marty.
In the bottom of the can.
Have another drink. I don't know. I'm actually just kind of excited, John, because of the whole baby thing coming up.
Yeah.
We're kind of taking a back seat a little bit. We're taking it out of gear. We're going down a gear, and we're kind of just kind of relax a little bit. We're going to do some investigations.
Yeah, a little neutral action.
Yeah. I mean, we rocked the event scene for like, what, 2-3 months there?
Mm-hmm.
So now we're kind of calming down a little bit. We're going to do some old school investigations, and this will be fun.
All right. As long as you're not picketing.
For what?
You're not going on strike, are you, pal?
Mm-mm. No,
okay, you don't want, like, a bigger contract.
Unemployment line?
Sign me for more money. I have a kid.
No, that's cool, though. I understand where you're coming from.
I'm going on strike for daycare. So I need someone to watch the kid.
Protect our children's.
Yep.
Marty?
Leave those kids alone. Okay, so...
I'll watch them.
Yeah, they'll be watching you, probably getting crunctified. So, on that note, is that all you got there, Willard?
Yes.
Are you... sure?
Yes.
Then I will say thank you. So moving right along, that was Ryan the Professor Willard. He's a good guy. Don't let him fool you with his monologue tonight. You're still a good guy. So how about you, Chef Chick? What have you been up to?
Oh, not much. Like Ryan touching on the NHL playoffs, Buffalo Sabres.
Timeout. Say it again. The what?
Am I talking too fast? Slow it down.
A little bit. Yeah, just relax, man. Have you done it before or no?
You've been on this show NHL playoffs, times. Buffalo Sabres.
All right. Slow your roll. You're cool.
Boston Bruins.
Don't be nervous.
We kicked their ass.
They can't see you. Boston Bruins, you're going down, baby.
Oh, that kind of leads into with our guests.
Oh,
sorry.
No, yes, it does. Sorry, what a Boston. Great show. Yep, we're going to lead in big time. So if you are done there, Chef Chick, Willard's done, and I have nothing to say. I'm just kind of here to have an even flow. So.
Referee?
Yeah, kind of, sort of.
Yeah?
Yeah. Can I move on or no?
Hey, one month ago until the big Central Terminal Ghost Hunt there with Taps, Dave.
Yeah?
Dave and Tango.
Stango?
And Beyond Ghost.
It's sometime this next month, yeah.
Stango?
Yeah. End of May. Memorial
it's
Day
weekend.
It's
not a joke, Willard, is it? Like, you try to catch me up, I'm like, what?
Yeah. Memorial Day
weekend. Yeah, it's like weeks from now, pal. Yeah, yeah, that's a ticket.
Yeah.
Okay. 30 days.
And we're lecturing?
Yes.
Yeah, we're doing it. We're going to do
it. We're like the opening act.
Well, Marty's going to watch me and you stand up there.
All our gear bags.
We need someone to hold the camera, right?
You better hope your soundboard doesn't get unplugged.
Famous last word, Chef Chick. Okay, so that's going to be great. Yes, the big event there at Central Terminal with, of course, Team Stango.
Yep.
Can I call them that or no?
Yeah, you can call
you gotta get Stango. Copyright on that before they get a hold of it.
We'll charge them like buku bucks. Okay, very cool. We can't wait. It's going to be great. We'll all be there. Obviously, we're talking. Those guys are talking. They're ghost hunting, and we're going to be sitting there.
I'll ghost hunt, too.
Okay, cool. Making sure. Contractually, I want to ghost hunt, so.
I want to sell T-shirts. That's all I want to do.
You probably want to sell Guinness. No, you want to drink Guinness.
I want
to
drink Guinness.
Okay, so there you go. Chef Chick Willard, Crescito, we're good. Now, here it is. This is the good part. This is actually the great part for the evening. I'm completely, like, stoked about this. I get to introduce our guest tonight, and what a great subject, folks. Let me first say this. I can't think of a topic in the paranormal that really gets people going, especially when I tell them about myself personally and explain that I'm a ghost hunter and I'm into all this supernatural stuff. Nothing gets people going like tonight's subject, and we're talking about Ouija boards.
Wah, wah, wah.
Okay, good stuff. And we have the man. This is the man, the myth, the legend, the guy to talk to. He's calling us from Massachusetts. He's on the line. He is the preeminent expert on all things Ouija. We're talking to Robert Murch. We're just going to call him Murch. Murch, are you there, my friend? And if so, how the heck you doing, pal?
I am here. Thank you so much for having me on. And I'm doing great.
That's fantastic. Our pleasure. Thanks for being here, man. I'm glad you're brave enough to be on with us.
Well, you know, like if you're surrounded by Ouija boards, you got to have, you know, you got to have some strength.
You have some protection on your side, too, so.
Stop touching the soundboard, Chef Chick.
It was Ouija, bro.
Whoa,
it's Ouija
like
board.
The Ouija power. Okay,
those,
so.
Those aren't no nipple dials, man. Just stop squeezing them.
Whoa. So anyway, so let's keep my mojo going in the right direction. So, all right, welcome to the show. Now, Murch, I'm going to start off by allowing you, during the first course of this first segment of the interview, a little bit about yourself. Tell the folks at home listening about your background and what actually got you personally started with your endeavors in all things Ouija board, please.
Sure. Well, you know, I grew up Orthodox Jew, actually.
Hmm.
I'm not really practicing anymore, but, you know, anyone who grows up in an Orthodox religion, you're kind of brought up around a lot of spirituality.
Yeah.
And basically, my grandmother used to sneak me into watching a Creature Double Feature all the time.
Nice.
I wasn't supposed to be watching it. And, so she was really interested in ghosts and all that stuff, but like not in the way people are today. It was kind of just, you know, of course there are ghosts to her, you know, it was kind of just, you know, obvious.
Mm-hmm.
And then basically what happened was I was in college and a couple of my friends were rushing for a fraternity, my roommates, and I knew that if I rushed for a fraternity, I would never graduate. So
right.
This was definitely not a good idea for me. But I was helping them because they needed some things on a treasure hunt. They needed an old Ouija board, so I used to go antiquing and flea marketing, yard sailing with my dad. So I went home on the weekends and, you know, picked up a couple of old Ouija boards for a couple of bucks. And then when I left college, like 3 years later, I was packing up and realized I had like these 10 Ouija boards now that were all different. And I just thought, geez, that's really strange, you know, like isn't there only one Ouija board?
Yeah.
So, you know, hit the libraries and, you know, you're talking like 17 years ago, so the internet was in its infancy, and you know, hadn't changed much with, you know, not being able to necessarily find the truth on the internet, but there wasn't much out there, and everything I found was kind of contradictory,
mm-hmm.
So I started kind of really doing the legwork. So that meant kind of starting from scratch and going all the way back to the 1890s and late 1800s when it started, and kind of just ended up rewriting the whole story, and in the process meeting some really cool people and tracking down descendants of all the people who were involved in the original introduction of the Ouija board in America.
Wow.
And yeah, the ride still continues. It's still, I find new stuff every day.
So those Parker brothers, they're pioneers, huh?
Well, you know, it didn't really start with Parker brothers. Actually, yeah. Started with a man named Elijah Bond, is the person who filed for the first patent that was registered February 10th, 1891 in Baltimore, Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
And he sold it to a man named Charles Kennard, who was the first company that made Ouija boards was named after, the Kennard Novelty Company in Baltimore, Maryland. And then he also sold it to someone who married into his family, William H. A. Maupin. And they then turned it over to the company itself. And so, you know, that's kind of it. You know, it was the first mass production of a talking board.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, once you mass produce anything, you know, all bets are off. It's you know, we're still talking about it.
Yeah.
This year, actually, the Ouija board is 120.
Wow. Mm. Some staying power.
Exactly. Definitely staying power. I mean, you think about today, like, you know, just kind of like looking ahead at all the devices, and I'm sure we'll get into this later, mm-hmm. you know, K2 meters and EVPs, they're all descendants of, you know, spirit communication.
Sure.
And, you know, so you think of all the devices that you may have used in all your, in the time that you've been doing investigations,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, they come and go. The next newest thing comes out, and then you never hear about it again. You know,
yeah.
It becomes like a kind of relic. But, you know, the Ouija board,
absolutely.
I mean, here it is, you know, our great-great-great-grandparents were using. Some people are still using it today. It's kind of cool.
So,
it
Rob,
definitely is.
It is one of the first spirit communication devices. It's probably, like you said, very similar to communicating using a K2. Why is it okay for investigators to use a K2, but everyone's afraid to bring a Ouija board with them and does not want to use a Ouija board for investigation?
I hear you, and I get into this all the time, and I try to challenge the different you know, ghost investigators to really keep an open mind in this. And part of the problem is the Ouija board is so ingrained in our pop culture. So one of the things I do is I don't just collect Ouija boards, but I collect everything Ouija, and I also keep the database for every time Ouija shows up in music, so that's a band, a producer, the lyrics, you know, you name it. Then I also track all the television shows, every time it's been in a movie, and that and in books. So that gives me a real judge as to how things are seen throughout time. And what basically happened was when the Ouija board was first used by Hollywood in the movies, you can see it reflects what was happening, which was people were using it on dates. They were using it. It was mostly like funny things like I Love Lucy. They were like great gag things because it's such a visual tool. But then what you get into like the 60s and 70s when movies started to get a little darker, and like The Exorcist basically used it to show that it's a portal to become possessed. And once that happened, you know, that was pretty much the end of it. So anyone who grew up, when I do interviews with people who are in their 90s, they have only great things to say about the Ouija board and how much fun it was. If you talk to people younger than 50, you hit that real, that's the tool of the devil, you know, that's the doorway to hell, because what the pop culture changed. So how we view the Ouija board today was absolutely not how it was viewed for at least half of its life today.
All right, so Merch, let me take this from a very elementary fashion. Just let me start out with the name itself. So it's Ouija, not Ouija board.
Both, actually. The original pronunciation was Ouija, and then what happened was, just like we always do, people name things, like, you know, if you are on Twitter, you tweet. So what people started saying was, okay, so if you use a Ouija board, you Ouija, and then that just became short for Ouija board. So,
I see.
You know, when William Folds, who's kind of like the father of the Ouija board, he was an employee of the original company, and within a year was kind of put in charge. Then his family basically made the Ouija board from 1891, or 1890 really, until 1966 when they sold it to Parker Brothers.
Okay.
So he basically quickly patented, trademarked the term Ouija as well as Ouija, because he saw that, you know, this was how it was kind of growing on its own.
So is that where the Ouija started from? Was from that concept, or was there something more of a history to the concept of using a Ouija board?
Well, you know, it's funny, in all this research, the first article about a talking board, so like, again, Ouija is a trademark. And so basically things like when you say pass a Kleenex, Kleenex is actually a trademark. You really mean tissue.
Right.
When you say make a Xerox copy, you really mean a photocopy, because uh-huh. Xerox is also a trademark. So Ouija is the same thing, and the trademark is still in force. It's owned by Hasbro today, which owns Parker Brothers. So Ouija board we use as general. We say all these boards are Ouija boards, but technically Ouija is just one of this class of talking boards, along with spirit boards, witch boards, fortune boards, you know, anything you can think of. And the reason all those other terms came about was they couldn't use the word Ouija. So there have been many other names, but none with the staying power as Ouija, because the trademark applied to the first patented talking board. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you think today, if you go on Amazon or any place, there's a number of pop talking boards out there. But, you know, in the beginning, from 1890 to 1908, the patent was enforced, and you could not make another talking board because, you know, the company owned the patent.
What was the earliest history, though, of...
So if you go back,
any talking boards?
Yeah, any talking board.
The earliest document we have is from 1886, and it's from the New York Tribune, which says, the new planchette, the talking board, sweeps Ohio. So what happens is this was something that kind of grew organically from the planchette, which is what we call the tool we put our hands on the Ouija board. But it was also something totally separate. In the early 1800s in Europe, where the planchette came from, we believe, it was basically a large-shaped heart device, and it would have on the two bigger ends, it would have two little wheels, and then in the front end, where the heart would kind of point, would be a hole, and you put a pencil in there. And you put your hand on top, and supposedly you'd ask questions, and it would write out the answer.
Ah, like ghostwriting. So,
exactly. That's the beginning of spirit writing. And so there was that was going on, and everything hit the United States a little later. So... you know, in the mid-1800s to the late-1800s, the planchette was big. And then what was also happening were these, what were called dial plate boards. And they were basically a board with the letters and numbers and words like yes and no in an arc. And there would be a fixed kind of pointer that would kind of point arc around. And these were expensive to have. And so what basically happened was you have the planchette and these dial plate boards, and someone in their house decided, geez, I could put these two things together and make this really easy. And so what happened was this man, Elijah Bond, he was in the Civil War. We can place him in the area of Ohio at that time, 1886. Mm. So we know he saw it. And then, of course, he's a patent attorney in his later profession. So 4 years later, he patents this scheme that is really already in existence. So probably shouldn't have had the patent, but, you know, if you're a patent attorney, it kind of helps.
That's true.
So...
What do you say,
that's
Chef?
The earliest. You know, a lot of people believe that Ouija and talking boards, and it has been written, that they go back as far as, you know, 540 BC, the time of Pythagoras. It's not true. They just weren't. You know, there were things like pendulum. You might say a pendulum board or using pendulums.
Mm-hmm,
but that's,
yes.
That's a different form of divination versus actually putting your hand on a movable pointer that's allowed to freely move over the a board and point and stop them out. So... yeah, they were using things like pendulums, but they were not using talking boards.
Okay, so point well taken there, Merch. I'll tell you what we're going to do at this particular juncture of time. If it's okay, fellas, we're going to take a first break for the evening. We're talking to the preeminent expert on all things Ouija board. We're talking to Mr. Robert Merch. I'm here with Chef Chick. Of course, I'm John Crescito, and this guy over here next to me, too close, is Ryan Willard. This is Beyond Ghosts, Interactive Paranormal. Be back in a momento, kids.
Ouija. Ouija going to get you, baby.
A burden to know, swelling me inside. Swelling me inside. He does not know what he does to their minds. Yeah, what he does to their minds. Eat me, and that will make you weak if you drink me. Just the same. Yeah. crash, the damage is under. Yeah, the damage is under. He's never loved. Is that not a wonder? Oh, is that not a wonder? Lay down from your will, you have drawn all your power.
Hi, this is Dolphine, author of Dark Force and Warrior for God. Beyond Ghost Interactive Radio.
Welcome back to Beyond Ghosts Interactive Paranormal. Yes, it is still John Crescito. I'm here with Marty Shevchik, Ryan Willard, and we're talking to our buddy Merch. You might know him as Robert Merch, and he is actually the guy to go to if you want to get the 411, folks, on Ouija board. Now, let me also go as far as telling you something you might already know, folks. Of course, Merch, you might not know this. On this program, I like to play devil's advocate whenever appropriate. And believe it or not, I've never had the occasion to lay hands on or use a Ouija board ever in my life. That's no BS. So do me a favor, please, Merch, and actually tell the folks at home, you could be honest about it or theoretical. I don't care how you do it, but how does a Ouija board operate? How do you work them damn things?
Okay, great. It's a great question, and it's funny. You know, again, 120 years later, people are still – it's what makes the Ouija board so interesting that, you know, people – there's a couple of theories. And so scientists or psychologists would say that what's happening is a form of automatism or ideomotor response, which is basically a fancy way of saying that you're moving it and you don't know you're moving it. You've set up a scenario that your brain is trying to answer the questions for you by using your subconscious.
Really?
So when you have multiple people, what's happening is everyone's subconscious is trying to emerge, and like anything else, there's always a leader or one that's stronger personality that's coming through. And so when someone would say, well, wait a minute, it can't be my subconscious because it gave an answer to my great-great-great-grandmother's middle name. And the truth, the scientists would say, is that, you know, when you were 2 years old, your grandmother was talking about this in front of you, and the information went in. And, you know, the human brain's an amazing thing. And,
absolutely.
It knows how to filter out all this kind of crap that comes through your daily life. You wouldn't be able to function if you could remember everything that was you ever saw or ever heard.
Oh,
but it does go back there somewhere. So they believe that the Ouija board is basically acting as this kind of window into your subconscious to pull out these facts that are buried in there. So that's like one theory.
Right.
The second theory, you know, you have is like religious people will believe, yes, you are talking to spirits or demons or, you know, discarnate spirits that are out there. And, you know, yeah, you are making contact because you want to. And, you know, that's what's happening. Spiritualists believe the same thing. And then you have, you know, people today or today's ghost hunters, you know, are kind of trying to figure out all these different tools that, you know, are you really making contact? Is it your subconscious? Is it your friend pushing it? Do you know you're doing it? Right. Is it telepathy? There are a number of people who believe that really what's happening is you're tapping into the other person or the people around you. So you're not talking to a spirit. You're pulling the information from the other person. So you've got a number of things that are potentially going on. And, you know, 120 years later, the debate is still happening.
Fascinating.
So is there a proper way to hold a Ouija session? Does the session have to be properly closed, or or will a portal still be open where demons and other spirits can come in and it's gonna, you know, affect your life? What is the truth to that?
Well, you know, like anything, whatever people come up with that makes them feel more comfortable doing something, they should do. So if some people say, oh, you know, you think of a white light. Sit in a protective circle, say a prayer beforehand. You know, hell, if that makes you feel better and safer, then you should definitely go for it. Because when you do anything, obviously confidence is what's important, you know, as long as you feel good about it. I think there are people who have bad experiences with the Ouija board, and they're very tempted to say, oh my gosh, this is what happened to me. I'm throwing this thing out. This is awful. And I always laugh at this because, and not at them, because, like, look, if you get the, you know, health scared out of you, then it's not funny. But I laugh because they throw away the Ouija board and then talk really bad stuff about it. And it's kind of like the Ouija board is just the phone. Like, so we're having this conversation over the phone right now.
Right.
And they say the interview went really badly. You know, and we hang up the phone. You're not going to throw away the phone and say, I'm never going to use a phone again. This is awful. This is the most horrible thing.
Well, forget it. Phones are bad. Thanks, Robert. Yeah.
This phone's going to the toilet after this interview.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't do that. We say, oh, okay, well, you know, the guy was a jerk, and, you know.
Willard's not that bad, but I hear what you're saying there, Merch, so. That's an excellent point. And it's funny because I'm going to tell you a quick, fast story that kind of relates to what you're saying. Myself and Mr. Chef Chick recently went out to do sort of like a pre-investigation of a site that we're going to bring the team back and really kind of lock and load and really hit it hard. And we're talking to these people that are walking us through. It was a public place, kind of a weird situation. And the guy starts telling us a story about all of his exploits in the paranormal. And then he brings up this run of bad luck that he had while him and his family used to play with a friggin' Ouija board. So, of course, like you're saying, it gets to the end of the story. The only way the friggin' quote-unquote curse was broken, they burned the Ouija board in the street, and that's what set him free. What? So you're saying that's poppycock or what?
You know, I think...
To be honest.
People convinced... Okay, human beings, we're creatures of blame. So yeah. We like to blame things because then it's not us. You know, like, it's great to blame something else because we're not responsible. So... If you think about a Ouija board, it's potentially, today, it's cardboard, paper, and plastic. You know, the old ones were all wood. But yeah. Basically, there's no magic or special power about a Ouija board other than you can't show a Ouija board to anybody and have them not know what it is. You know, there is power in mass recognition, part of your pop culture. So because we all know what was supposed to happen and we know what we're supposed to do, you don't need to read the directions, you know, to get it to work.
Yeah.
That's kind of huge in our minds. So the power is, to me, you're trying to make contact to a spirit or to your subconscious. You're just trying to make contact to whatever will answer you.
Uh-huh.
You know, the intent, I don't, to me, there's no difference to using a K2 and asking, because you ask the same questions, right? Mm-hmm. Is there anyone here? Are you male or female?
The general stuff,
were you
yeah.
killed? You know, how long were you here? And it's blinking. And I think what's interesting to me today is that technology makes people feel safer and more sterilized to use, like, say, a K2 meter than it is to use a Ouija board. Because, see, when you use a Ouija board, your hands are on it, and you're touching it, and you feel it move.
Very tactile.
And when you feel it move, and you're looking at the person next to you like, oh, my God, are you moving that? Ooh. I mean, tell me you're not moving that. It's a real, you know, experience. And now you compare that to EVP, which can be equally scary, but it's scary, you know, an hour later when you're reading the data.
Right, it's not instantaneous.
It's like this instant... You're feeling what's happening, whatever is happening, you feel it immediately. And that's a really bizarre feeling. So you use all this technology, and all of a sudden you're kind of further and further away. But, you know, if you think about it, does a spirit go, oh, God, I hope they pull out a Ouija board. I hope they pull out a Ouija board. Because I want you to talk to my God, please pull out a Ouija board. No, if you're trying to contact and talk to you,
right,
this could happen no matter what. But, again, the problem is we carry this huge
insanity.
Pop culture baggage of the Ouija board as being so bad. And,
I know what to blame.
And you know, I also study all these articles, so 120 years worth of everything that's ever hit the newspaper. And like today, you know, what makes Fox News? You know, to me, Fox News is really scary, much scarier than a Ouija board. But
what makes Fox News
are all these extremes. So, you know, if the Ouija board gave someone the numbers for the lottery, that would make
Wolf news. Blitzer.
You know, if the Ouija board, like, there's one title that says, the Ouija board told me to kill my daddy, so I did.
Well,
you know, that makes the news, and then it makes a Lifetime movie.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's what happens.
Sensationalism, yeah.
And so you get all these things that hit the news, and they're all either really bad or really good. And most with the Ouija board are really bad because they're sensational. And so part of my research was, okay, everyone has a story, like, my cousin's best friend's mother's sister's neighbor played with the Ouija board,
and she was
that,
room
and you know, they put her away, you know.
Yeah.
And so part of my research was I called the top 10 medical facilities in the United States along with the top 10 psychiatric wards in the United States and asked them this question, I said, which I know you're going to laugh at, which I said, okay, in the past 1, 5, 10, and 25 years, how many people were admitted to your hospital based on Ouija board use? And they're just like, you're crazy. You know, why are you asking that? You know, and in the end, when I finally got a real answer, zero. There have been
none
cases
ever
in the past 10 and 25 years. So we have this like urban legend. We call them Ouija-stitions. So there are stories that are evolved specifically around the Ouija board. Like if you burn a Ouija board, you're going to feel like you're burning. If you bury it, you'll feel like you're being buried alive. You should never play it alone because... You know,
body.
You become possessed. And the truth is, we'll hit one of these.
Motorbike.
The truth is, why shouldn't you, why, why did the original directions say you have to use two people? And so you think about this. You go back to the late 1800s.
Right.
And if you go on a date, you cannot be with or touch at all someone from the opposite sex, you know, period, before you're married. Like, this is just not going to happen.
Right.
Not acceptable in public. There were no PDAs. Nothing.
Yep.
So you're
bland diet.
All of a sudden you have this toy that you're allowed to put on your lap. And it's with someone from the opposite sex.
Come
and
on,
your knees are touching, your hands are touching, you're very close, you light candles.
So
I mean,
so seriously,
this is like a guy's dream.
It's
you know?
A Ouija aphrodisiac? Is that what you're trying to say?
It was. So and, you know,
knock on the board.
We have...
couldn't hold the bottom of the popcorn box there? Merge, I had to, man. Sorry, I'm thinking about it. I'm getting excited. Go to the movies.
I'm just trying to set the mood, you know. Like,
man, I'm loving this interview. Woo ha!
Yeah. And then, you know, you look at it, most people don't know this, but in May of 1920, Norman Rockwell's cover of the Saturday Evening Post was a man and a woman playing a Ouija board. You know, like you think, which is scary Ouija board.
Yeah.
Norman Rockwell, Saturday Evening Post. You know, and in the picture, if you look at it, she's kind of looking up like, oh, my gosh, some spirit is answering me. He has this, like, huge grin on his face, and he's looking at her chest.
Yeah,
I mean, like,
that spirit.
This is the classic of everything. So why would the original people say don't play it alone? Well, because that was not the point of the game. You know
exactly.
What I mean?
Exactly.
So, and the other thing is, Ouija boards got a really early kind of bad rap. By the movement
now.
That actually started them, the spiritualist movement. You know,
yeah.
Well, what happened again is, if you think back to the late 1800s, if you wanted to contact a ghost or have a seance, you had to pay a medium to come in. And that was a lot of money. You know, not everyone could do this.
Still
now,
nice.
For $1 or $1.50, you
same
could have
thing.
Your own kind of mini seance. And, you know, who do you think didn't like this? Who was losing money? Well, people whose profession was all of a sudden, you know, mediums are not getting this call.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, you and I have these things where mediums in the late 1800s are all saying, oh, Ouija boards are bad. You don't know who's going to pick up the other line.
Mm.
You know, you need me to kind of guide you through the spirit world.
Right.
You know,
it
comes down to, unfortunately, the almighty dollar. That's the real scary thing is capitalism.
Bob, in your experience or your belief, do you think it's... your subconscious, or do you think you are actually contacting the spirit world? In your belief,
It's different. You know, I have watched hundreds of Ouija sessions, and I have seen things that have clearly the subconscious. It is clearly what was going on. And then I have seen other things which I have to say are really, really bizarre. So my belief is, if you can talk to spirits, well, of course you can talk to spirits through a Ouija board. I mean, if they can talk to you, they can talk to you through whatever. I don't
Fair.
Think there's, you know, a limit. But I don't think it happens every time, and it's kind of like one of those things where I think a number of things could be going on at any given time. I don't think it's always, but people who have this natural ability to talk to spirits, I think a Ouija board, again, if you've got an ability and then you put someone in a way that is kind of easy, you know, why does the Ouija board still sold today? Well, I mean, you know, for $16.99, you get an unlimited calling plan to the other side, right? Like no roaming.
Yeah,
no overages,
quite the steal, right?
How do you think we're talking to you right now via Ouija?
Feel this.
It's better than that magic jack.
Hey, look, like Ouija board was the first texting. You know,
there you go.
He's good. He's warming up now, huh?
Thought I saw someone driving down the road texting with a Ouija board.
A big old board on my lap, little thing. Go this way, that way. Yes.
No wonder why there's accidents while you're texting when you're driving.
You get pulled over. And you know, here's another thing. The 1920s. Ouija boards were selling so well, and it was such a Ouija craze that finally Harvard had to ban Ouija boards being used in the classroom because studies were showing that people using Ouija boards during tests were doing better.
What?
So, I mean, were they cheating or
cheating
was
via the Ouija?
In their subconscious? You know, Harvard didn't care. They just banned them.
Nice.
Wow. Well, we're going to take a break here in a minute, Merch, but we were talking about the whole pop culture thing. So basically, you brought up the movie The Exorcist, and they kind of had to say at the beginning there that girl, Reagan, contacted Captain Howdy, who ultimately caused a big problem in the end with her getting possessed. So you think that could never happen then, huh?
I think there are lots of
Dish
people
it.
Who have lots of problems in their life. And I,
there's three of them on this side of the mic, pal. We know.
But I'm not possessed.
I think that... You know, it's possible. I don't think it's the Ouija board's fault. I mean, I think if you're susceptible to certain things, you know, it's like, you know, someone who's an alcoholic, say, you know, I don't think it's the alcohol that's the bad thing. It's they're, you know, they cannot drink and be okay.
Right.
So, you know, you should stop drinking. So I think it's the same thing. If you have an ability or you're susceptible to possession, I don't know how you'd know that until you were possessed. If you're susceptible to it, I would say probably the Ouija board is not a great thing. And there's, you know, probably lots of other things that are, they should also take their medicine when they're told to.
We've kind of found through our research that most people that do become possessed, they're either deep-seated in their religion or they have some kind of underlying mental problems or some real devastating issues going on in their life at that time.
Issues is the key word, yeah.
Yes.
And I think so, right? I mean, you see it anytime. Anytime you're not at your best, you know, it's like, you know, not being, you know, if you're kind of run down, you're more apt to catch a cold.
The
same thing is if you're not mentally or spiritually 100%, then you're playing around with things that are causing you to question your beliefs. And, you know, that's always, I think that's why the Ouija board is so popular still. It's such a simple thing, but it causes us to ask all these questions like, is there really something out there? And is it so simple that you could just use letters and numbers to make this contact? You know, and then again, we all want there to be. I mean, isn't that why everyone, you know, here on the phone or listening, that's why they investigate. They want it true. You know, we want to find something. So.
Can't explain, sure.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah, the only connection I see, John, is on possessions is when ratings go down, possessions go up.
On television? Love TV. But I thought TV was real, guys.
T-shirts get tighter, too.
Yeah, well, heads get smaller, T-shirts are tighter.
TV is real.
Uh-oh. It is. It is. Yeah, it is. Yeah. Especially to those that are on the other side of the camera, right?
That's right.
Okay, now on that note, merch, hold on 1 second, my friend, please. We're taking our second break of the evening. Folks at home, I'm here, Chef Chick. I'm here, Willard. I'm here, me. That's John Crescito. I'm not possessed yet, but I haven't tried a Ouija, so we'll see what happens next week. This is Beyond Ghosts, Interactive Paranormal. Be back in a jiffy, and I'm sending Marty to your house with the Ouija next week if you move.
Ouija, Ouija, Ouija.
Get down with your bad self. Sexual chocolate, mama. Ha, ha, ha. Welcome back to Beyond Ghosts, Interactive Paranormal. Yes, I am your host, John Crescito. And yes, I am here. I'm in studio with Martin Shevchik and, of course, Ryan Willard. And what an awesome topic and a great conversation we're having this evening, talking about Ouija boards with our buddy, the expert in all things Ouija. We're talking about Robert Murch. We're calling him Murch. That's what we're going to call him. And Martin Shevchik, you had something you wanted to ask Mr. Murch there? I know you're thinking about getting yourself one of the newest models of Ouija board. So you want to ask him as far as...
Have you ever tried these things? Tried the Ouija board yourself? Because you said you witnessed a lot of Ouija sessions. Have you ever personally tried it yourself?
I have. I've tried it a few times. Yeah. I'm not a big user, to be honest with you. I found really early on, Ouija boards elicit a really kind of strong response, right? It's like either people are like, oh, they're so much fun, I had a great time, or... you know, get the hell out of here with the Ouija board. Don't be anywhere near me. This is really horrible.
Right.
So in my research, I found out was the more I stayed very unbiased and just stick to the facts, the easier researching things were for me. So I have about 500 different boards in my house.
Wow.
And surrounded by them, there's all the artifacts. The house looks like a museum to the Ouija board. And no, I can tell you the doorway to hell has never opened up here.
Thank goodness.
If it did, I would be selling tickets, and I would like to see all of you in line.
We'd be calling you Captain Howdy, huh?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Now, Now, I always wonder with Ouija boards and, you know, all these, like you said, these technical devices, the K2s, all these new communication devices.
Millimeters and stuff.
And paranormal investigators are always afraid to use the Ouija board, and they don't want to touch it, but they use the K2 like we talked about. I always wonder if there's spirits out there that are kind of old school. You know, they're from, like, the 1800s. They're like, oh, no, he's got one of these new fangled light bleeping devices. Where's the old board device that I can just move around? You know, I wonder if you brought a Ouija in, like, in a location where the spirit's like, oh, God, I don't know. Like my grandfather, my grandfather's dead. My father doesn't know how to use a computer.
Holy shit.
You know, like an old person doesn't know how to use it. Like, don't send me an email. I don't know how to use that
thing. So they're more comfortable with the spirit board than the K2 and the mouse
exactly.
and stuff?
Exactly. I wonder if that's the case.
Who knows?
Yeah.
You should try experiments.
It's an argument that has been brought up that if you want to talk to a spirit of old, you'd use a Ouija board. And if you want to talk to a spirit of today, you'd, turn
there
on the
go.
Texting on your iPhone. I don't know. Like, I guess there's like the argument that,
that
the spirits know any more when you die or not. Like, a lot of people say, oh, like the Ouija board, the spirit gave me the future lottery number. Well, I don't know who made that rule up, that spirits actually see the future.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not dead yet, so I don't
goodness.
Know. But, because...
It's a weird interview.
You said that, and, it's kind of it's true. It's a good question.
We'll make a pact right here, right now, that whoever dies first is going to come back and tell the other person.
Why are you looking at me, Chef Chick?
Because you're older.
I'm the most handsome one.
Because you're the oldest.
Wow.
We'll come back and tell which of the other ones what the spirit life is like.
Okay.
Either I'll do it through a Ouija board or I'll text you.
Yeah, get in line with Houdini, right?
I hate to see the roaming charge for that.
But
gonna get
boom.
Nailed on AT&T.
It's gonna be from Montreal, Canada, I guarantee.
Okay, I like Montreal. I'm headed there next month.
Because when I die, I plan on haunting strip joints in Montreal, Canada.
He wants to be the stripper pole.
Yeah, I don't want to be crossed over. I don't want to be anything like
that. Are you sure that
band
from Canada doesn't go after...
In the afterlife, that band is gone.
No?
You sure? Not alive and dead both. It's gone when
you're
I'll
call your brother. He works for customs. He'll let me know.
That's all. Sneak across on a boat, pal.
I don't have to sneak anywhere. I just float, fly, whatever.
How do we know ghosts can float? How do we even know ghosts exist? Hey, Merch, you believe in ghosts?
I do.
Have you ever had an experience that you want to share with us?
Yeah, I think... There's something there, and things seem too strange, and, there's been too... I don't want to just chalk it up to there's a common experience, so it must be true, but I think there's enough common, from recorded history, people have been looking at ghosts and believing that there's something there. So I think there's something happens to that. The energy has to go somewhere.
Right.
But are there, hauntings where, basically it's just a replay, energy's caught, and you're just watching a replay... like non-intelligent or is it? Yeah. I mean, I technically, and I guess all of these things are possible. But I don't know, I'd like to think when I go, I hope I just move on. Right. Like I don't want to get caught. I don't want to hang around. I want to move on to the next thing. But could it be that something gets caught or you can come back and visit? I guess anything's possible, but
absolutely.
I just haven't seen it for sure yet. I've had some weird experiences.
Could be
and
out
seen
there.
Some, strange things, but I've never had anything that has made me say, yes, this is the way it is. This is it.
Well, lucky us, we'll all find out one day, right?
We will all find out.
We don't have a choice.
Two things are promised in this world, death and taxes.
Which is worse? Depends on where you live. Well, we know where you live, pal. Ooh, Massachusetts?
Yeah.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Sorry, Merch.
Yeah.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, we're right up there with you, though.
Yeah, we're even
I'm cringing.
Worse.
Okay, so we're actually going to come to the top of the hour. Now I'm getting freaking possessed after I said all that. Do me. So listen, he's going to listen to no interview. So actually, the deal is we're coming to the top of the hour. We're going to cut the interview here in a minute there, Merch. And before we let you go, I'm obviously going to give you a chance to do what we call shout-outs. You'll take the opportunity to tell the folks at home where they can find out more information about you and everything that you're involved in. But before we actually get to that part, so in all your travels and everything you've done with the Ouija board, you have never, ever come across a story that was absolutely credible to the fact that somebody had a demonic experience because of spirit communication with a spirit board or a Ouija?
I have never been able to verify beyond a shadow of a doubt
cool.
that someone has had an experience like that.
I'll sleep well tonight. Thank you, sir.
Cool. Ooh. I'm breaking out the Ouija tonight.
I feel much better now. I'm sighing of relief.
Well, I'm not in it. Having said that, I'm not advertising, I'm not kind of trying to get people out there playing it. I just don't think like, look, if Parker there's Brothers. Danger in talking Hasbro. To spirits, it's in the act of trying to communicate.
It's
I don't think Ouija boards are any more or less dangerous than a K2 meter.
Fair enough.
Scientifically,
it's all communication. Okay, I gotcha.
Well, real quick, open before it does open door. Shout-outs. I can't get the damn thing to work. I've tried it before. What do you think the success rate is on
gotta work out, Willard.
I mean, I guess, yes, practice makes perfect. But do you know people have been really successful with that compared to me? I've not at all.
Who, you know, descendants of the Fold family, a good friend of mine, Kathy Fold, the Ouija board works like crazy for her. Now, maybe
really?
It's in her blood. But I have other friends who have a hard time right getting it to work unless they're in a group. And the more they use it, in the group, the more they, the less and less people until they can play it with themselves. And I think part of that, like, is like anything else, like practice makes perfect. And the other thing is, you know, letting, today's people, we're control freaks.
Yeah.
You know, we are. We like to control everything. We want everything immediately. So, you know, the original directions would say, like, wait 5 to 10 minutes. Oh, God, like, that was, you know, fine to wait five or ten minutes, because God knows the mail took weeks to get to you. So it was five
yeah.
to 10 minutes. But today, Pony's 5 to 10 minutes is like, how many emails are going to pass? You know, how many texts are going to come? So I
Jersey Shore's on. I know.
Right.
Yeah. I always.
I know.
Come on.
I always try in a group. So maybe I should play. Maybe I should play with myself first before I try it. Oh.
It's always more fun playing with others than playing with yourself, guys. Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's definitely.
Merch is like, I ain't touching that one.
Yeah, no. I agree.
Thank you.
And that's the last episode of Beyond Ghosts.
Right, no, we're fine. Well, FCC loves us. Right? We're actually good to go. So now back to what we were talking about before we started this extra set of questions there, my friend. So now you can sit there for the next couple of minutes, Merch, give all your shout-outs, tell people where to find out the info about you and all your things, and, man, take it away, brother, man. Hit it.
Sure. So, you know, if you're interested in hearing more about myself or where I'm going to be at or what I'm doing, you can go to www.robertmurch.com. If you're just really interested in the history of Ouija boards, you can check out my site, which is www.williamfold.com. And that's basically everything you've ever or never wanted to know about Ouija boards. And the next event I'm going to be at is the kind of TAPS Beyond Reality event at the Mount Washington Hotel.
Nice.
I think it's April 23rd. So if you're in the area, come up there. We'd love to see you.
Okay.
Sweet.
So you do events then too, huh?
I do. I do a lot of speaking events. And basically what I do is a multimedia presentation. Take people through the beginning to today with clips of movies and music and different things to show people what was happening with the Ouija board at that time.
Hey, how's your schedule looking for July, man?
July's open.
Oh, sure, sweet.
Okay, we'll be talking, but I do want to say this. I want to say, Robert Murch, thank you so much for coming on and imparting all your knowledge and wisdom about all things Ouija board. It was awesome tonight. It was exhilarating. It was definitely educational. I learned a lot, and we want to talk to you again in the future. Heck, we want to see you this summer, maybe, wink, wink. We're going to actually take our last break of the evening, but do not hang up. We want to take the opportunity, Murch, to say goodbye to you properly off the air, but I want to say thanks for coming on. We'll talk to you in a minute, my friend.
All right, thank you for having me. It's been great.
You've been a great guy. So, gentlemen and scholar, folks at home, this is Beyond Ghosts Interactive Paranormal. We're about to get our groove. Hell, we're getting our rock and roll on, babies. Don't you dare move.
Willard.
I'm gonna die unless I get to see the world's smallest horse. I'd do anything for a rattlesnake or a ZZ Top keychain. He can stand on the other side of the plywood counter with all the advantages. Hey, that's okay. It's not magic, it's just fooling. That Def Leppard mirror is just a ring toss away. I'm on time, unless I in Lost, I met you at the boots just like you said to do. Big Texas, like what? Seven stories tall. What did you expect? Fell off a ride on the midway. Fell off a ride on the midway. Oh, I nearly died on the midway. ZZ Top keychain.
Inside this room, all of my dreams become realities, and some of my realities become dreams.
So what's the big deal with all this talk about Beyond Ghosts, interactive paranormal, especially the interactive paranormal side of the house? Well, I'll tell you something right now. The big deal is the fact that we host events and lectures for different locations throughout the Northeast, but especially Western New York. And you know why? It's twofold. The first reason is because these locations, they need our help and they need much needed fundage, and we get it to them in the form of these hosted events and programs like the lecture series that we do that's catching on, thank goodness, like wildfire. Numero dos is because you folks listening and all your friends and whoever else likes the paranormal, get off of your buns, yep, and you want to hit the ground running and doing it to it yourself and join up and see what is going on with all things interactive paranormal. So we get you from your easy chair and we get you into the location and you can be a ghost hunter. Anybody and everybody can do it. And Beyond Ghosts, we give you your chance. So that being said, here's just a quick list and a roundup of some of the great events we have coming up this summer. Brum, there's the drum roll. First and foremost, the next thing we have on our slate is going to be June 12th, 2010. Williamsville, New York, the haunted and historic Eagle House Restaurant. Great place. We've done it before, and I'll tell you what, babies, it never disappoints. Didn't last time, and it's not going to next time. Okay, I'll tell you what, the place is haunted, but don't believe me. Come check it out for yourself. June 12th, 2010, Eagle House, Williamsville, New York. Okay, next, we have August 13th. Friday the 13th, in fact, August 13, 2010, in Buffalo, New York, the famous Shea's Theater. It's consistently on the lists. I'll tell you what, check it out. Google the place. It is always thought to be haunted. Has been for a very long time. Do we think it is? We'll tell you when we see you face to face on August 13th, 2010. August 13th, 2010, in Buffalo, New York, Shea's Theater. It's a bucket lister. Finally, I'm running out of wind here, babies, believe it or not. August 28th, 2010, come on out and join us in Philadelphia. We're going to be making it happen at the infamous, it needs no introduction, Eastern State Penitentiary. All the biggies on TV have done it. Now we want you to do it with us. It's harder and harder to get into Eastern State. We're making it happen. August 28th, 2010, a benefit price. It's going to actually help out Eastern State Penitentiary. It's a National Historic Landmark. We're giving you extended time in, and of course access to places normally you can't get into. So come on out August 28th, 2010, Eastern State Penitentiary, Beyond Ghosts. And like I always say, Chef Chick's buying everybody that comes out a friggin' Philly cheesesteak. More information, guys, go check out beyondghosts.com, the events page. And we'll see you on the road. Interactive Paranormal style you this year, babies. Thank ya. Sadly, folks, we have now come to the end of a line for this week's brand new episode of Beyond Ghosts, Interactive Paranormal. Yes, we're closing out May 18th, 2010, but I'd be remiss if I didn't mention once again what a great guest we had this week. We were talking to a good friend of ours, Ouija board expert Robert Murch. Murch, thanks again for coming on, brother man. We'll definitely catch up with you again later this year, and we would love to have you back on the program. So guess what? It's going to happen, so boom. In the meantime, folks at home, you want to actually get at us and ask us any questions, please do so by getting at us at beyondghosts@yahoo.com. In fact, as soon as we get some emails rolling in, we'll shoot for next week because we get them all the time. We're going to start a new segment on the program. It's going to be Listener Mailbag, and we're actually going to be able to answer your questions on the program via the emails you send in. So, going to be cool. We still rock it out with the music, which keeps it not boring like the old school talk radio programs. Remember, Beyond Ghosts is not your daddy or your mommy's paranormal talk. Thank goodness. So that being said, any other suggestions you want to lay on us, beyondghosts@yahoo.com. You want to know what's happening, like what's coming up next week on the program, or you want to learn more about those awesome events, which, yes, they benefit each and every location that we have them hosted at. Do that by checking out the website we love. And, of course, thousands and thousands of you love it, too, because you let us know each and every week. We're talking beyondghosts.com. Anything else? You know where to find me, kids. And thank you so much for listening. We love each and every one of you. We also want you to get out there, and we want you to love the animals because they need your help as well. And we'll see you next week on the radio, folks. Spread the word. Sky is the limit. And Chabela! Hugs.
That's okay. Okay. Go ahead.
Let us know when you're ready.
I knew that.
Okay, hang on one sec.
Okay. Sure. And if you don't feel anything, that's fine too.
That's cool in the game with us.